Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah. Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPA.
CGA.
That was PA twice, wasn't it?
That was PA twice.
Parents Anonymous. I don't know.
Parents never get to be anonymous.
Parents just don't understand.
You don't get me.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always, with
Shelley
and Mark M.
She missed it. You got it.
I did.
What? I was yawning. Sorry.
He left the B off his Bruce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He
I was yawning.
Bruce.
I was just throwing a monkey wrench in there. A little boomerang.
Yeah. Came back
to you. A little boomerang. I'm going to go on record right now and make some amends to Shelley for the last show.
And nobody will understand that because I'm going to edit it.
Oh.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah,
that
can't
show,
do
only,
it now.
Be that show will only be 20 minutes.
Yeah, you can't do it now. He made amends.
Shelley's giving a strange look.
Shelley, what's the matter?
Something is moving. Do you hear that?
Could it be my knee hitting this table and making something crackle over here?
Don't do
and
that.
And meds have hit a long drive to left center. Yeah. They're going. They're gone. Med 6.
Seriously, dude. I thought like something was crawling up underneath the table to grab the Cheesecake Factory bag. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no. No, it's all
no?
Okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Isn't that a word that should actually be? When someone says, hey, can you help me do this? And you go,
yeah, no.
I hate, yeah, no. Because first people say yeah, and then they say no. I'm like, well, which is it?
Mine was backwards tonight. We had dinner, and afterwards my sister goes, would you like a piece of pie?
No.
Said, no. Yes.
I think it works both ways.
Yeah.
It's she interchangeable.
She goes, pumpkin or apple?
Both.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of desserts, I've mentioned this before, but if any of our SoCal friends want a really good dinner experience, we've gone to this place, George's Bun and Burger, which is down on Shopper's Lane in Covina.
Yeah.
George's original Bun and Burger.
Yeah. Shopper's Lane, Covina. It's on the corner of Shopper's Lane and Roland. And it's most of what she serves is like, you know, comfort food, diner, American diner style stuff, but she always has some quirky little specials and things.
Oh.
I saved up all my fat grams for the day.
Ooh.
And we went to dinner the other night, and I had a very rare seared ahi tuna burger with a wasabi aioli.
Ooh.
With sprouts and avocado on a ciabatta.
Not sure. Okay.
That was pretty much my fat. I didn't have fries
good.
Or anything else.
I was good except for the sprouts.
They're like radish sprouts. I love radish sprouts.
Oh, the daikon sprouts. Okay.
Yeah, the daikon sprouts.
Okay.
And then she had banana cream pie, homemade. I mean, like by hand.
Okay, so now you've surpassed your grand.
I had to. I have not had banana cream pie homemade since I was a little kid.
It was
my mom
really,
used to make it.
It's not a kind of pie I would order normally, but it was really good.
I'll bet.
I knew it was going to be huge, so I ordered one, and Bruce had the other half because I wasn't. No way would I be allowed to eat the whole thing. It had caramel sauce drizzled on it, and chocolate sauce drizzled on it, and freshly shaved chocolate on top with the whipped cream. Oh my gosh, it was an
experience. They have probably in my top three fried chickens I've ever had. They do a cayenne buttermilk crust chicken that's to die for. They do a cherry pie that's Deep fry.
Yes.
They take a piece of cherry pie and deep fry it.
Who's your cherry pie?
She's my cherry pie.
Yes, you got to go to George's Original Bun and Burger. I'm just saying.
Really good. Really good. They do all the
this segment brought to you by George's Bun and Burger.
But that was totally free advertising. They haven't paid us for that.
I know.
I just love them so much. I have to plug them.
Yep.
I was noticing the other day, as I looked through the Inland Empire edition of the 12-Step Gazette, that all of the people that are advertising in there are all local places to Southern California, which is clearly where our largest listening audience is. We are certainly heard all over the world, but there is a fairly hefty percentage of our downloads are in the Los Angeles area as compared to other areas. Although still ranking number two in countries listening is the Ukraine.
The Ukraine?
The Ukraine, yes.
Not the UK? The Ukraine?
The Ukraine. No, the Ukraine is always ranked number two. And then usually it's Germany, although Canada has come on like gangbusters lately. And for some unknown reason, South Africa has come on like gangbusters.
Well, and didn't we have a whole bunch from Taiwan the other day?
We had a whole bunch in Taiwan the other day. I don't know why.
Traveling
and surprisingly enough, there's one guy in Ireland. You would think that Ireland would have good use for our show.
They don't. They're drinking.
But there's one guy.
They're in the pub.
The same number of people listening in Ireland are listening in Ghana, which is one guy.
That's okay. We love that guy.
I love it. You know what? It'd be great if that guy called up and said, I'm going to come to the convention.
Yeah, he should come to the convention. He should come and be in the peanut gallery. Mr. Ghana, you need to come and be in the peanut
gallery. Or Mrs. Ghana.
That's right.
It could be Mrs. Ghana.
It could be.
How many shows are we going to do at the convention? We're going to do three?
We should do at least three.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can experiment with taking calls without having to take calls.
You take questions.
Yeah, just bring someone up, hand them a microphone.
Yep.
And then we'll need some way to turn off their mic, just like they do on real radio.
Yeah.
Okay, you're done.
Click.
Okay, we don't want to hear you anymore. Click.
We need a bleeper, too.
Why?
Oh, you know what we need? We need a xylophone. Ding, 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 ding. And then if they keep talking, we hit a gong.
We can get a
xylophone.
I don't
think our listeners will like that.
You get a xylophone at Toys R Us.
You know what our listeners will think?
Huh.
More of them means less of us.
Of us, yeah.
Actually, tell you what, the more the guests talk, the less I'll talk. That should inspire everybody.
I'll tell you, when you look at lots of talk shows, the way that they can make their talk shows go so long is they just take calls and stuff gets brought up.
I don't know why this has eluded us so much, because there are other recovery podcasts that take callers.
It's easy enough to do.
How is it that we have been so lame for so long?
Well, some of them, because they're on servers and things where that's already provided as an option. I don't know exactly how it works, to be honest.
Podomatic doesn't have it, but there are plenty of places out there.
We know how to do it.
Okay.
But we need to get some headphones.
I thought you bought those headphones that are sitting over there.
Yeah, there's one set of headphones, but we all need headphones if we want to be able to hear
what's
happening.
I got headphones right there, so that's two.
Does that...
I got earbuds.
What kind of plug does that on the end?
A regular little one.
Okay, I think they require big ones. But
okay with this?
But we can get an adapter. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. By the way, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. It's funny because in the studio, you guys don't know this, but, you know, Shelly's ears are hurting, so... Shelly's volume to us is extremely low, but we turned up her mic, so the volume to you guys is the same. Because what I hear when Shelly starts to do it is I hear, and you guys are hearing,
and I'm trying to keep it low just because I know how much it's hurting her ears if I volume up. So
yes, okay.
What you got for us, Bruce?
From me.
Yay!
Exton, Pennsylvania.
Your favorite topic.
A hefty southeastern Pennsylvania man is behind bars after police say he walked naked into a Walmart.
What is the... Did he smear himself with something?
No, he stole a pair of socks.
Well, his feet were cold.
Yeah.
A pair of socks.
He was naked. I mean, I would want socks if I were naked, wouldn't you?
32-year-old Verdon Lamont Taylor.
Three names.
was arrested Wednesday. Police say he stripped off all his clothes in the parking lot of the Exxon store and went inside. Police say surveillance footage shows the 6'4", 300-pound guy walking around the store. Authorities say they used a stun gun to subdue him after he refused to comply with officers' orders. Stunned him 4 times. he's arraigned on charges including aggravated assault and indecent exposure.
Did he pay for the socks?
No drugs, no alcohol involved.
Did he pay for the socks?
It doesn't say.
Okay, but here's the
but
real question.
He's being held on $50,000 in bail. So.
Okay, if there were no drugs involved or alcohol involved, what had he been rolling in that caused him to think it was a good idea that he needed to remove his clothing before he entered a public building?
I don't know.
They must have been pretty stinky.
You know what my first question is, though, really, truly? How long was he there before somebody noticed and called the police?
Yeah, I know, because it's Walmart,
that's
right?
Question one. Question two, he probably wasn't the strangest person. He probably wasn't dressed stranger than a lot of other people that day.
Oh, my gosh. Walmart, should I tell my Walmart story?
Well, let me tell him a little preliminary thing to Walmart story when you and I were in there.
Oh.
So we're in Walmart, and we're in line, and we look over. I want to find this picture because, of course, those at home will not be able to see it, but we will describe it to you. Shelley looks over, and she sees an item for sale at Walmart. And as I look, it says, "The Look of Diamond, wedding sets, $8.88 to $10.88." And
how
Shelley
sad
goes,
is that?
That's
Shelley
a
goes,
Walmart
that's
wedding,
one of the
baby.
Saddest things I've ever seen in my entire
and
life.
And you can register here while you're getting your, while you're buying your wedding
the
set.
The $10 wedding, because you might want to splurge and get the $10.88 set instead of the $8.88 set.
That thing says commitment, like a $10 wedding ring.
Yeah, exactly.
You might be a redneck.
That was so sad.
He's in Southern California,
God,
too.
This is Jeff Foxworthy show waiting to break out here.
So last night, I thought Connor was going to pee his pants. He was laughing so hard when I told him. I can't really put this on Facebook, but there's a whole myriad of reasons why not. But anyway, because normally this would be an epic post on Facebook.
Should be.
I needed creamer for my coffee, and we went and had coffee up at X2O, and I lost track of time. And by the time I realized it was too late. All the grocery stores were closed, but Walmart is open till midnight. So I dropped Bruce off at home. I say, I'm going to go down to Walmart and get some creamer. I go down there. I was probably they close at midnight.
You realize right across the street, Ralph's is open till 1 a.m., right?
No, they close at 11 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bummer.
So and I go down to Walmart. By the time I got there, it was probably 11:25.
Uh-huh.
I got in line. I picked up the creamer and a couple of other things. I got in line at like 11:35.
Uh-huh.
About 5 minutes later, their entire computer system went down. And, you know, my ears are killing me. And the woman at the register is going, beep, 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 trying to get, no matter how many buttons you push, honey, it ain't coming back on. Suddenly there's a flood of assistant managers and people that look official, and everybody's trying to get, they can't get another register open because the computers are down.
Uh-huh.
The line is getting longer. And every 5 minutes, the little guy comes on and says, Walmart will be closing in such and such minutes. Mm-hmm. At about 10 minutes to midnight, the woman behind me, you know, everybody's getting restive, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be here for a while. So I just got my book out and started reading.
Mm-hmm.
The woman behind me, who is 6 feet tall, if she's an inch,
uh-huh.
about 250, uh-huh. 275, okay. She's a big girl.
Okay.
She's standing over my head, and my ears are killing me, and she suddenly belts out, I am going to get raped in the Walmart parking lot. I was like, what?
What?
She said, by the time we get out of here, it's dark. It's dark out there, and I am going to get raped in the Walmart parking lot.
In.
And I'm thinking, why are you screaming this over my head? So, and she goes on like that for like 5 minutes. And then she starts going on about how, you know, it's going to be midnight. My coupon is about to expire. I am not going to get my 25 cents off my... She was bitching because she wasn't going to get her 25 cents off her toothpaste.
Shelly flips her a quarter.
So then, well, wait, just hang on. Then she goes back to the, I am going to get raped in the Walmart parking lot.
Not if you don't brush your teeth.
And then, and the assistant manager says, ma'am, we'll have somebody escort you to the parking lot. It's okay.
And this is Covina, California,
yeah.
You know, crime-ridden capital of the world.
First of all, I look behind me. There are 35 people now in line. There are only two males, and they are the husbands of the women standing in line. And I'm thinking,
all the rapists are outside in the parking lot, but the parking lot, in the bushes.
The parking lot at Walmart, it's huge, wide open. There are no bushes, no trees. It's well lighted. It's ridiculous. And I'm looking around. I'm thinking, the only people in line at Walmart at midnight on a Saturday night are pathetic women like me that have to pick up creamer. You're not going to get raped in the Walmart parking lot.
Not to mention that, to be honest, that mall really does have security guys that great you see
security,
all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when we go to Starbucks, yeah. you see them like every 5 minutes. Yeah. These guys are flying through there.
Well, and they've got that key system where they actually have to go put
they
the key in and
turn
it.
They go to all the different places.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't just say they went there.
So finally, the third time she started in on the getting raped in the Walmart parking lot thing, I turned around, and I can't talk really loud, so I touched her arm. I had fished around in my purse. I handed her a quarter. I said, here, this will cover your coupon, and I'll wait for you and walk out to the parking lot with you. And she was so startled, she stopped talking. I was like, thank you, God.
Well, for want of a quarter.
This episode of the Boozy News is going to go a little over.
Sorry, I had to tell my Walmart story because I can't do my epic post on Facebook.
You know what? You should never hold back on Walmart stories.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't. Alcoholic Pepsi recalled after Swedish mishap.
Who sent this in?
Isn't that a rum and coke?
Bill Piper.
Oh, okay.
Sent this one in.
Yeah, that does sound like
Carlsberg, Sweden was forced to recall thousands of cans of Pepsi Max after realizing the popular soft drink was actually filled with an Alka-Pop party drink instead.
Oh,
1,872 cans were sent to food chain Lidl in southern Sweden and contain Exide Citrus Fizz, a ready-mix Alka-Pop party drink with 4.5% alcohol content instead. We apologize.
That's
for any for what happened and any discomfort caused, we take it very serious when we have to, and we have launched an internal investigation. Carlsberg added it would be tough to drink the party drink by mistake, and that citrus fizz was much lighter in color.
So how did they manage to get it into the wrong can?
Well, people brought up the fact that it would be easy to drink that way if you were drinking it out of a can. Because you can't tell any color difference.
You should be able to tell the taste, though.
You should be able to tell the taste difference.
Yeah, but 4.5% alcohol is nothing. That's like cough syrup.
Yeah, it's like 9 proof. Well, you know what it is? It's more than a beer. It's like drinking ale. Beer's only 3.2. Ale is what? 4 or something? Okay.
Did you hear the stories about the new powdered alcohol?
What?
You know what? I saw that after I had done this. Dude, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, powdered alcohol.
Yeah.
It looks like a gigantic frickin' pile of cocaine.
It does.
And the first thing I thought of is you should be able to slam it.
Did you see the stories on it, though?
No.
Powdered alcohol, this guy created this because he's an outdoors type who likes to hike and take long bicycle trips and long hiking trips.
It's like
when he got
dehydrated
done,
booze.
And when he did, yeah, and when he said, when I got done, I'd like to have wherever I got, whatever beautiful vista I got to look out, I'd like to have an adult beverage. I don't want to haul the heavy bottles around, so I came up with a powdered alcohol.
I get it.
But alcohol evaporates. How would you powder that?
I don't know. Here's the problem.
The guy is Mr. Wizard.
The TTB, which is the federal government's agency that oversees alcohol, approved it.
The TTB?
Yeah.
I thought that was the ABT.
No, it was the ABC. Is the Alcohol Beverage Control. That's the state. That's
yeah,
the state.
You're thinking of tobacco, firearms.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, TTB, yeah. They approved it by mistake.
Oh.
He has the approvals.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be
which he said he would turn back in.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, because... But I'm looking at this thing, and one of the things it says... Under the TTB's, like when they wrote up their approval, you have to put a warning on this stuff. Do not snort.
Well, what I thought, and I don't know if you thought similarly to me, the first thing I thought of when I saw that stuff is, what if you took a regular drink and put like 4 spoonfuls of that shit in it? That would you could pump up the volume on your drink really quick.
Yeah, but you know what? He really should talk to the military about that, and I'll tell you why. Because
they can't get drunk fast enough.
No. Powder, not like vodka or whatever, but like just straight like rubbing alcohol. If he could powder that in field packs in a battlefield situation where you're out there, there's no medics, and you need that, would be have excellent applications because they got those freaking 90-pound packs on them already.
I think booze would have excellent applications.
Could you wait? Could you imagine though, powdered alcohol and Tang in outer space,
dude?
A screwdriver in the morning on the space station.
Should do it.
You could just spoon it. You could just mix the powdered Tang and the powder and just eat it by the spoonful.
Yeah,
just get lit. Okay.
All right. Back to the news you have.
Yeah, this one's
I think we're sending people out
really
at this point.
We can't send people out. We're not that
powerful. Why the hell was Zac Efron? You know who Zac Efron is? He was in High School Musical and all that. He's quite the hot, like, Disney-type stud.
I guess.
Another Mouseketeer.
You know, he was a heartthrob, a career propelled forward from High School Musical. Got punched in the mouth by a homeless man late Sunday night in L.A. Now, and here's the question. Cops told the L.A. Times that they were patrolling the 110 freeway near Temple Street around 2:25 a.m., which is right in the thick of not good town.
And 225 is past bar closing.
Yeah. Well, this is not good part of town. Yeah. I mean, this is like not far from Spring Street and all that stuff. I mean, this is – we're down like in the thick of things.
Yeah.
So the question is, why is Zac Efron, who's like this multi-million-making star right now
– oh, Shelley, I'm sorry.
What the hell is he doing down near Skid Row at 225 in the
morning? Scoring.
After they broke up the fight, they saw him in a scuffle with three other people. They broke up the fight. Efron, who the officer said was obviously intoxicated, told that a transient slugged him in the mouth and said, "It was the hardest I've ever been hit in my life." When questioned as what he was doing in the area with his bodyguard, which kind of makes me wonder what the hell's up with the bodyguard.
Yeah, he needs to get a new
bodyguard.
Yeah, the bodyguard's letting him get hit in the mouth by a homeless guy. He told them they ran out of gas and were waiting in their car.
Okay.
Efron threw a bottle outside of his car window. Why anyone would do that, we have no idea. And it shattered near a group of homeless people who thought he tossed it at them on purpose. So they confronted him. That's where it led to the fight. Police still say we have not sure why Efron was out under a freeway underpass so late.
Why was he driving under a freeway underpass? There are things.
Why are we asking these questions?
Because this story doesn't make any sense.
There are holes in this story.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Michigan man arrested after driving to the police station and used the bathroom while drunk.
Perfect. Ooh.
You got to go.
66-year-old was arrested at Pittsfield Township Department of Public Safety. It's reasonable to drive up to a public building and request to use the bathroom. It's just not really a good idea to do it when you're falling down drunk.
So
he drove to the police station and asked the police officer on duty that he said he had just driven in, "Could I please use the bathroom?"
Okay.
And...
Jinx, you owe me a coke.
Now, interestingly enough, who noticed he was actually drunk was a firefighter. And so the firefighter got the cops, even though the cop directed him on where the bathroom was. The firefighter said he was in. And he was given a breathalyzer, so they did arrest him on...
You know what we call that?
What?
A god shot.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to give you this. Donald sent this in. Alcoholic stenographer causes chaos in court by typing only, "I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job."
Can you read that back for the jury, please?
Over and over and over and over again. Daniel Kochansky was fired for typing gibberish or "I hate my job" repeatedly instead of actual court dialogue.
That's awesome.
They are rushing to repair the damage caused by him. With 10 cases going through appeals processes, potentially able to claim that a crucial evidence is missing in their conviction.
Yep, 10 people are going to go free.
Ironically, one of the cases was a guy who opened fire at work.
The New York Post.
Why'd you open fire at work? I hate my job.
This is great. The New York Post compared Kachansky's antics to the meltdown of Jack Nicholson's unhinged character in the 1980s, The Shining.
Oh, yeah. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
So he got fired for misconduct.
I wonder why.
Phil. Man arrested for DUI
Which Phil? K or M?
M,
okay.
He was arrested for wearing a I'm as drunk as shit shirt.
And he was.
While he got arrested for drunk driving.
Well, you know, truth in advertising laws are pretty strict these days.
The man's shirt is not doing this guy any favors. This isn't getting pulled over. 21-year-old Oregon man was arrested wearing the most appropriate T-shirt possible for his mugshot. Ross McMacken.
McMacken.
I love that. McMacken. Was arrested last Sunday. He allegedly drove his car up onto the sidewalk, hit a parked car, then attempted to strangle his girlfriend when she tried taking the keys away from him. Wearing a shirt, I'm drunk as shit. Police said McMacken was driving because a girlfriend didn't know how to drive a stick shift. McMacken was charged with drunk driving, reckless endangerment, harassment, and strangulation.
You know the first picture I get when you talk about this guy?
Huh.
The drunk from the Andy Griffith Show who used to go, just go put himself in the jail.
What was his name? What was the guy's name?
Otis.
Yeah,
first Otis. Picture I got in my head when you're reading that thing. This guy just needs to have his own key to let himself in.
Hero.
Oh, crap.
Hero of the week. Wow, that was like the lamest ever.
It'll sound great. It'll sound great on the air.
This is great, though. This really is great. Last week, a thief stole a 1993 Chrysler New Yorker from a house in Boonville, Indiana.
Oh, God, I saw this story. This is a great story.
And then the guy, instead of like taking it to a chop shop, turned around and sold it to an old man for $300. The 70-year-old man, however, started to have a nagging feeling that the deal was just too good to be true, so he gave the car's rightful owner, Derek West, a call after looking him up. WFIE 14 News reports what happened next was fantastic. Mr. West met up with the 72-year-old who had unwittingly bought his stolen Chrysler and determined the senior citizen needed the vehicle more than he did.
Aww.
So he's on 72 years old and fixed income. He was out $300, and he was out the money and was just really upset, and he told us it's too good to be true. The guy just gave him the car.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Yep,
he is
the hero.
I drove the car for several years as a work car. By the time it was over, it worked out. I just wound up giving him the car. He needed it worse than I did.
What happened to the guy that stole the car?
They arrested him.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Because he used his own name on the bill of sale.
Donald Grigsby. Was caught because he signed the receipt using his own Social Security number.
Oh, my gosh. Dumb criminal of the week.
Yeah. That was a little water that won't need to be wasted for a while.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably save these.
Okay. Let's save those then. Yeah. Because you're running down to the end of your.
Well, no. We're way.
Do you have any final words?
We're way over.
Okay. So my Walmart story went a little long.
Your Walmart story is great.
I'm going to get raped in the Walmart.
I love my friends. It was the end of the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416. or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Your dreams or your ticket out.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
At Sober College.
At selfwillhappens.com.
.com. Sweet, Shelly, what's the topic? I know you know it because we just said it 3 seconds ago.
Problem child, apparently.
Problem child. Are these the sponsees?
Drive you nuts?
Drive you nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts.
They're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Their cheese has slid off the cracker.
What the heck is going on out there?
I have guys I don't even sponsor anymore that aren't even sober anymore that call me and drive me nuts.
How many guys do you have out there who say you're their sponsor and you have no idea?
Or that you never hear from them?
Yeah.
I have a guy who's got, he's got to have about 5 years now, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
I never hear from him. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well, yeah, but we hear from him all the time on Facebook. So we know he's still alive.
Ooh.
I see posts.
Right.
There's a topic for another show. Social media sponsorship.
Although, he did say that he wanted to go to the convention.
Awesome.
He and his wife.
Oh, nice.
And our friend Dave and his girlfriend also want to go to the convention.
All right. So that's...
I don't know, but we've got a couple of close friends that have just told me in the last few days.
Seven of us total.
I know Bruce D told me he's gone.
Hmm?
Bruce D told me he's gone.
Bruce me?
No, the other one. Bruce D.
Oh,
D? Yeah.
Ah, cool. Yeah,
that's what he said. Cool. It's a rumor.
Yeah. So, give us an example, Mark, of a... of a problem sponsee.
Problem child.
I get one that comes to mind immediately, but...
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the obvious one.
You have one right now.
I have one right now who just... You know, Look, call me anytime really truly does mean call me anytime. The problem I have is I actually answer the phone when it rings. So
that's the problem?
Well, the problem is, call me for something, though, when you call. I have more 50-second phone calls with this guy.
You couldn't squish it up into one phone call?
Exactly.
I have an employee like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I get 9 calls in a row
for
15 seconds each, and I'm like, couldn't you just encapsulate that all into one call?
Yeah. You know, and it's like... Hey, I just got out of my meeting. Hey, I'm just going to a meeting. Hey, I have a break at work. Hey, I'm just getting lunch. I'm like, I am not Instagram.
Right, really yeah.
I don't need to know what you're having.
You're like Twitter. It's like Twitter. He's calling you. He's only using 145 characters
or
whatever it is.
140 characters or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on the bright side, if you think about that, though, this is a person who's been in and out, in and out, in and out. He's had some trouble.
Uh-huh.
He's actually doing what he didn't do before, which is call his sponsor.
Yeah, he is. And, you know...
I'll bet he's not taking all his sponsor's direction, though.
He's not taking much... Well, to be fair...
You haven't gave him a lot yet?
I haven't given him a whole lot. I've given him one set of instructions.
Stay away from chicks?
No, that starts tomorrow.
That's the one he needs the most.
That starts tomorrow, but... no, it's, you know, surrender, acceptance, and willingness. I mean, just because if you think about it, there's not a whole lot else you have to do.
That's true.
Don't drink and use and practice surrender, acceptance, and willingness. And you're good to go.
True. Shelly?
Yes?
Problem children.
I can't really say that I've had too many actual problem children because they usually leave. And then they're not my problem anymore.
Well, that's kind of a problem in and of itself, though, isn't it?
Not for her.
Well, not for you, no.
I know, but when I think about it in terms of my recovery, I was a serious problem child. And I hung around like the last chicken in the shop. I was a problem to the point where finally my sponsor like started laying down ultimatums.
I'm going to give you two initials.
What?
L.
L. Oh.
And B.
O.
Oh. She goes, well, there might be a couple problem children in the mix somewhere.
Okay. Well, here's the problem with my problem children. They declare at some point that they want to drink like a gentleman person, woman, man, whatever.
They should.
If they can.
I love when they reach that point. I'm off the hook.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, well, there's not much I can do for you then. Well, but won't you still be my sponsor? No. I can only sponsor someone who wants to stay sober. Well, but I still want to be in, you know, like in the program. That kind of goes against the first rule. First rule is don't drink. That's pretty much like the only, that's like the one thing you got to do.
Yeah, somebody told me one time that they wanted to go out and drink. I told them to go drink Belvedere.
Why?
I said, 'cause it's really expensive. You'll have a better story when you come back.
Well, one of them has sort of wandered off. I see her on Facebook every now and then, and she's doing whatever she's doing, and, you know, God bless her. And the other one has recently come back, sort of.
Which one is that?
The L.
Maybe.
Sort of.
I haven't seen her at any meetings.
She had another crisis and decides, oh my gosh, I have to get sober. And then when I start actually offering direction, you get the roadblocks. You know what the roadblocks are. And in this case, it was, okay, so, well, you really should probably go to the book study on Tuesday night. I don't have a book. That's okay. We'll get you a book. Oh, how much does the book cost? I don't have any money. It's okay. I got one for free.
Yeah. They have books at the meeting.
They have books at the meeting, too. It's not a problem. Just go to the meeting. Well, I'll see if I can get off work. You know, if you really want to get sober, you'll go to any lengths. You can get Tuesday night off. You've been working there long enough. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I'm like,
isn't she like a manager or something? Wait.
Assistant, I think.
So, a case of the Yabbits.
Yeah, she comes flying back.
Hey,
I'm having a panic attack, and she wants the easy fix. Yeah. Then when, you know, and there isn't one, and then when I offer her the suggestion, the solution, here's what you can do.
Yeah, but.
That's too much work. Yeah, but that's too much work.
Yeah, but.
Because all the Yabbits, the Yabbit is, yeah, but I have work. Yeah, but I have kids. Yeah, but I have Yabbit. Uh-huh. All the Yabbits boil down to are, yeah, but that's a pain in the butt and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's all it
is. Yeah, but it's easier to do what I always did to start with.
Right. So if that's what you want to do, go do it.
Interesting enough, your former sponsee, the almost could be sponsee again, happened to call one of my problem children.
Oh, geez.
When she was drunk, which caused a problem with him and his current girlfriend.
Is that a problem child square root? Or square? Problem child squared.
Problem children squared.
Yeah. Yes. We've all had the...
And if they have multiple personalities, it could be cubed. Well,
it was a problem foster child. We've all had him for a while. Well,
and I had a problem child who was never... He asked me to sponsor him, like, briefly, but he always would come to me with things, whether I sponsored him or not. And it was this guy, Eddie. And Eddie was, and along with what Shelley had just said a minute ago, his thing was, but, you know, but I just want to be able to party. I'm like, bro, if you could just party, you wouldn't be even considering getting sober. Because nobody considers getting sober when it's still working for them. And when he goes... But I just like the party. I said, Eddie, you by yourself with a broken meth pipe, smoking meth next to the dumpster in the trailer park is not a party. I don't care who the F you are. That is not a party.
Well, unless you get some balloons by the dumpster.
You know, and the other one. Well, I don't drink anymore. Okay. And I don't do drugs. I thought you smoke weed. Well, I do, but that's not like a drug. And I'm like,
right.
Dude, you want to look at him and go, are you mental? It reminds me of Wayne's World. Are you mental? It's like, yeah,
yes.
Weed's not a drug. Okay. And then, unfortunately for him, his girlfriend, who's very nice, used to come to Charter, had 4 years. She's got some issues going on. and she had a drink. And she said, well, I only had a drink.
Okay.
I said, yeah. And she goes, and you know, and I got my 4 years off crystal meth. And I go, well, yeah, you have 4 years off crystal meth, but this is not the dual date society. You know, we did a show on that not that long ago, double dating.
Yeah.
You know, well, I've got this much time off meth and this much time off alcohol. Well, that really means that you've got like 3 days or 4 days or whatever it is. And it sucks for her because she had four years.
I hate to be the rain on the picnic. But I sit and I look at the people out there, and this program is for people who, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, you're ready to take certain steps.
And if you're not, you're not.
If you're not, you're not. And look, I just took a cake for 29 years of continuous sobriety.
Continuous.
Yeah. Free from all drugs and alcohol. And I look back on it, and you know what that really means? Nothing. Today I didn't drink or use.
Right.
But
Kazune.
Bless you.
Everybody looks at, you know, this continuous time and that this time means something. It really doesn't. It's like you went and had a drink. Okay.
It's a whole quality versus quantity.
You haven't used any meth in 4 years. That's awesome. So what? You know, if you want the program, this is what the program says. Don't stop being proud of the fact that you haven't used any meth for 4 years if you were a meth addict. Because that means something.
Yeah.
You know, we want everybody to fit into this box of sobriety that we have where it's like, it has to be like this. Would you not let her come to a meeting?
Why wouldn't I let her come to a meeting?
She's breaking the rules. She thinks she has 4 years off meth and that means something.
She's still welcome to go to the meeting.
All she's got to say is she's an alcoholic or an addict to go to a meeting.
Yeah.
If it's an open meeting, she doesn't even have to say that. She doesn't have to say crap.
I'm gonna do some cocaine.
Okay.
Now?
I'll just keep going to AA and I'll take cakes.
Oh, I was going to say, we're in the middle of recording a show. You want to go now?
I get a 25-year cake in November. I'll be all hopped up on cocaine while I'm taking the cake. I'll be like, I have not drank in 25 years.
And everybody will go,
yay! You've got like 34 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Non-continuous sobriety, I do. Actually.
You know.
Actually, 34 years.
Yeah.
So, almost.
So we have all these problem children. What do we do about them?
Give them up for adoption?
Yeah.
Send them to that guy in Ghana.
I'm going to be like, hey, Brad, Angelina, I got someone for you.
Yep.
They're like, you guys 34 years old. I know. Yeah. He needs help.
You wanted to expand your family.
Brad and Angelina have already adopted the UN. They don't need any more.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you deal with them the way you do any problem child, which is you do what you can, and if they're ridiculous, you release with love.
Well, you know what my conversation tomorrow is going to be with this guy that I sponsor after our casual conversation tonight about coffee after the meeting the other night.
Yeah.
You listen to somebody share just, first of all, as I'm listening to the share from the girl that he ends up hitting on.
Hit up on her at the meeting.
First of all, talk about the show the other day. As she's sharing, I'm seeing the glow begin.
In him?
This girl's radioactive. No.
Oh, in her. Yeah.
I'm watching a mushroom cloud begin to form.
Yes.
This could be Shelly's problem child.
Yeah. Shelly, you got her. But
you know what, though? She's a smart girl. I think she's gonna turn it around.
Did you not listen to the share?
Yeah, no, she's got someone that's been effing with her head, but I think she'll work through that.
You're the reason why we have all the cracks and pupples on the show.
You know why she's going to work through it?
I bang my head against the microphone.
You know why she's going to work through it?
Because Shelly's going to help her.
Because Shelly's going to
sponsor
her. She'll help her.
But I actually, to be honest, she may end up being a problem child, but I have a seriously soft spot in my heart for her because I relate on a lot of levels to her. And she has a lot of family support. A lot of people are pulling for her, even though she's a little off the rails right now.
Her mom takes her to the meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though she's off the rails a little, but she's very young. I just think that, you know, if she can just get through each day, which is basically the only instruction I've given her right now. Here, read this in the book and get through the day and call me. And she's been doing it.
And don't call him.
Yeah,
probably one
she's
of the biggest
doing,
problems.
She's been doing well.
Probably one of
that.
The biggest problems she has, which most people would not consider a problem, but I look at it as being possibly a problem. She's a really cute girl, and young in the program. Yeah. And every guy at every meeting that's even close to her age range is going to have she's going to have crosshairs right on her forehead.
Well, and that was part of the problem. My problem child attracted a problem child. When she first got sober, some guy who claimed to have like 13 years went up to her after a meeting and said, you know, I think it'd be a really good idea if I sponsored you because, you know, I think we have a lot in common. And that freaked her out so bad.
I'll bet.
That she stopped going to meetings at that place. She was like, I didn't know, and now I don't trust anybody as a sponsor. She didn't get a sponsor for 6 months because she thought that all these guys were preying on her, which they were.
They are.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally she asked me, and things are steady at the moment, so it's
come
like,
on, guys,
holy
leave
crap.
The freaking newcomers alone, will you please?
Especially when they're 19
that's gonna
and
be,
terrified.
That's going to be your topic of conversation with your problem child tomorrow.
For the next week.
This guy, I got to tell you. This guy's a classic. I've known him for a while.
Yeah.
But he's a classic. Shows up one night at Starbucks. He's got this
ring.
I think a Filipina gal with him. Yeah. He met her on the street. She was looking for her dog. He's dating her like right after meeting her on the street. Now, he had just told Shelly and I the night before that he had given a ring to a girl because he dug her so much. The next day, he's dating another girl who he met who is looking for her dog on the street. And I'm like,
yeah, but what
this
kind
guy
of
works fast, man. I'll give him one thing. He works fast.
Yeah, but what kind of a girl meets some guy on the street when she's looking for a dog and then suddenly decides to date him? I think there's something wrong there.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
And here's another question.
I met you at Starbucks. Wanted to date you?
Yeah, but at the time I was pretending to be normal.
Yeah.
But here's my other question. All of these guys that we know in the program that do all this weird crap with women and stuff like that, what kind of strange satanic mojo do these men have that these women are attracted? Because I look at every single one of them and go, wow, not if you set my hair on fire. If any one of them had ever, at any time in my life, asked me out, I would have, you know, whacked them with my purse and run
throwing
away.
Up on his shoes?
Well, no, I would have, like, thought they were going to mug me and whacked them with my purse and run away.
Yeah,
what the heck?
I don't get it.
I almost forgot.
What?
Because we need to get out of this show pretty soon. But my biggest problem child loved this guy. But he's a paranoid schizophrenic. Loved him.
Oh, yeah.
Shelly's sponsor comes to me and says, hey, I got this guy. He needs a sponsor. He's got a couple years. He's kind of in maintenance mode. I'm like, okay. So I get him. Great guy. Love the guy. I mean, really, really, really nice guy.
He is.
When he's on his meds, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy, I used to trip out on him because this guy was absolutely fantastic. Like, really pro quality on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to trip. I'd be like, dude, why aren't you fronting a band right now? And he's like, oh, I don't like to play in front of people. But one day, we're talking, and we're just talking. We're going over some stuff and steps, and he goes, you know, the FBI is watching me. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, they're watching me. And he goes, matter of fact, I'm being stalked by a number of people right now. And he says, you should go look up group stalking online and see what it has to say. And immediately my red flags are going up. And I look up group stalking, and it becomes apparent to me when I'm reading these things about group stalking, because there is a lot of websites devoted to it. These websites are full of paranoid schizophrenics talking to each other about people following them.
Who have not taken their meds.
Right. I mean, it's really clear. And, you know, when he would take his meds, everything was great. And then he'd stop taking his meds and everything was not great. And I remember he went to, and I'm not going to use his name because I really did like the guy. And he went to live with this gal up in Glendora. And this gal calls me and goes, "What the F is up with this guy?" And I'm like, and I knew right then.
Which guy? Something. You didn't have to ask which guy?
And he, no, because there was two of them, three of them there, actually. Yeah. There was also Teddy and Warren. And I'm like, well, what happened? She goes, he came in and asked me why I was controlling him with my phone and made him spread peanut butter all over his naked body at night. She goes, I was like, what the F? And he goes, I know you're controlling me with your phone. And she said, if I could control you with my phone, you'd be detailing my car right now. She goes, why would I have you smear peanut butter on your naked body? I'd have you doing the dishes. You'd mow the lawn. And, you know, unfortunately, the guy – and you know what? The good thing about this guy – and he really was a problem child for me. And he was, I'm sure, a problem child for other guys that sponsored him as well. But it was a testament to him that a lot of people never knew he was schizophrenic because, you know, sweetheart of a guy, not a – even not on his meds, was not a violent guy. No. But
– he was a good guy.
He wasn't a stalker. He treated women respectfully.
Yeah, but he ended up overdosing. And I think, I'm pretty sure on, my friend Fausto thinks he did it on purpose, yeah. Which is really.
Well, when he took his car apart to try to find the listening devices was a.
Yeah, he did. I remember when Teddy called me, he goes, dude, he has ripped his entire dashboard out of his car. And he had a car that was like an okay car.
Yeah.
It was like a Pontiac Camaro. Trans Am or yeah. Something like that. And yeah. I saw it. And it looked like the cops had gone through and done it. You know when the cops go through and disassemble everything? I was looking. I'm like, wow. He like sold it for $100 to pick apart or something.
You know, though, when we're talking about this whole problem child thing, I gotta give props to Bruce for one thing. One thing I know after 15 years, even when before I was in the program and watching you with your sponsees, only one time have I ever seen you give up on somebody. You always take their calls. You always try to help them out. You're like there till the bitter end. And people have commented to me on the fact that, you know, later on when they finally did get sober, like Greg, you know, that you never gave up. And I got to give you props for that because I get to.
One.
Yeah, I know. So one time you gave up on somebody.
Is the initial M?
Yeah. Yeah. But I get to a certain point sometimes.
It was Mark. No.
I get to a certain point sometimes with sponsees when they say, well, I just want a drink. I can't stand this anymore. I'm like, and it's been, you know, 2 months, 3 months that they've been going on like this. I'm like, well, you know what? I can't control what you do. I get tired. And Bruce is like the freaking Energizer Bunny of recovery. He never gets tired.
That's not true. I do get tired of people. I do. But I usually don't let them. Although there's the one problem child that we were just talking about a while ago, the guy that was a relationship with one of your problems. I told him, this guy, at one time he said he didn't think he had a good enough story because he was mostly a weed smoker. I mean, a lot of weed smokers, they're really, I think of myself as a weed smoker. My really bad story was, dude, I got so stoned. I watched 12 episodes of Gilligan's Island, ate 4 bags of Doritos.
Yeah.
You know. And he didn't think his story was bad enough, so he'd go out and he'd get really hammered and he'd come in and he goes, is 13 Jello shots a lot? And you'd be looking at like some of these alcoholics, like someone like Shelly who's like drinking 2/5 a day when she's out there. She's like, 13 Jello shots? She's like,
that's dessert.
So then he wants to go out.
Puss.
Then he wants to go out and get a better story. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, dude, if you think you need a better story, you don't. But if you feel like you're going to go get one,
I could have helped him.
Be my guest. Go get a better story.
I could have helped him.
Get a better story. So, Shelly.
Strip down naked, just put on boots, go into a grocery store.
Go to Walmart.
Spread chocolate and peanut butter all over your body.
You have a perfect story.
And write I'm sorry in NyQuil.
And don't forget to get a pair of socks.
Oh, yes.
And buy the socks.
Shelly, what are your final words on Problem Child?
As long as you are willing to put in the effort, so am I. And if you don't want to put in the effort, don't lose my phone number. You might need it later.
Wow.
Mark, what are your final
words
on Problem Child?
That was really good. because it was almost identical to what I was going to say. Now I got
sorry.
Because I was going to say, your sobriety shouldn't mean more to me than it means to you. And but problem children are, will forever remain adolescent until they decide to grow up.
My final words are, problem child to productive child, merely a change of attitude.
Okay.
I had a semi-good one there. Because I never, I have like the worst last words ever. So Mark.
Yeah.
Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Here is the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
Here is a fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the post. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce. He'll send you some hard copies to strew about the facility. Also, you can go to 12stepgazette.com. Which way is the slash?
/IE.
And get the Inland Empire edition.
As an addendum.
Addend away.
Don't forget, Recovery 101 Radio Show Convention in Sin City, Las Vegas, July 18th through 20th at the South Point Hotel. Recovery101radio@gmail.com for more info. Let us know if you're going. Make sure if you do make reservations at that time that you tell them you're there for the Recovery 101 convention. And once we have an idea how many people will be going, we're going to get us some kind of room rate. Shelley.
Yeah.
People are listening to the show.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to recovery101.net. Recovery101.net.
.net.
Click on one of the shows. Click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted, and that helps us with our numbers. Thank you very much. Our what do they call it? Our metrics?
Yes.
If you are not a member, you can become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can listen to old shows, leave comments and topic suggestions. If you do that, leave them in the top show so Bruce sees them easily. You can like old shows. You can put us on playlists for all your hot party needs.
Whoop, whoop.
Matter of fact, if you guys have not noticed, there's about 620 shows up. So if you haven't heard 620 shows, you can go back and click like on other shows in the past, and that's okay. Podomatic will tell you if you've liked it before and you can't like it. But don't like go and like, you know, 50 shows in a row or something, because they will probably ban your account thinking you made an account simply to like a show. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. Just look up Recovery 101 Radio Show. If you want to be more anonymous about your program dealings on Facebook, you look up the Recovery 101 group. That one's got a little icon of a tree next to it, and that's a closed group. You have to be asked to be invited, but you ask and ye shall receive, and you can talk with the people you hear about that leave boozy news and a couple of the show hosts and stuff like that. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook, and Recovery 101 Radio Rule 62. Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley, I think I know who this will be, but who's the lead up music by?
That would be Elektra.
With the song Problem Child. Fitting. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
And by the way,
yes,
longest show ever.
I'm not a problem child, or a misfit for abuse. I'm not a wild child, or a sorry excuse. I'm not a wannabe, I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a flower child, but I believe
problem child. I'm not a problem child. I'm not a problem child. I'm not a. It's real. Let me be.